Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost them, just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky,
other names. Trade addicts pot, let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm JT, and I have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Session 373 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP in the comments or in the chat with you with us. We appreciate all of you. And today we have Justin, a.k.a. at JT Orange. Justin, thanks for coming on. How are you tonight?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Good times. Knee deep in drafts at this point. We got the dynasty still rolling. We've got the fan, all the celebrity drafts and all the like best ball drafts are starting to kick off. We're getting to July here. I can't believe it's already July 1st. Seems like the draft was just yesterday. That was in April. So yeah, we're getting wild here, man. Drafts coming hard and heavy these days.
That's good. Before we get started, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, you can find me on the X or Twitter at JT Orange. I'm the host of the Stew with JT Brew podcast. Typically during the season, mostly I do college football gambling and NFL gambling. So that's where you can find the Stew. But also you can find me every Wednesday night on Fantasy and Frames. I jump on the Dynasty 365 show. I also do Shoot the Gap, which is our IDP show for all you IDP folks out there. And then if you into writing content, rankings, all that jazz, I'm on DLF. I do top 150 IDP rankings. I've got my current top 25 rookie rankings if you're out there looking to do IDP rookie drafts. And I do Devy and college stuff as well. So top 75 Devy rankings out there as well at DLF, and a ton of draft articles I've written in the last couple months. So especially running backs, I hit hard on the running back circuit this year. So if you're a member over there, check it out. Look up my name, RBs. And I've got my breakdown pre-draft, post-draft, all my rankings, everybody who I like better, worse, same, depending on where they got drafted and where I think you should draft them. And if you're one of those people who do IDP and it's always like, where is there a mock draft where I can figure out where I'm taking defensive players? Because that's the number one question I always get. I do have a couple articles out there basically breaking down where I would take defensive players starting in your league, depending on your scoring system. So that's also out there on DLF.
Busiest man in show business, folks. All right. Well, let's start with the news. I did a question of the week. This is kind of a lazy one, but it's 4th of July. Leave me alone. Who is a veteran we have overlooked in the non-points scoring season? Justin, do you have an answer?
Man, I was thinking about this one. I was like, man, I was trying to think if there's somebody like really like deep down that we've overlooked or somebody that has just got there. There's two guys. I got two guys I'm going to give you out that I just think are totally being ignored way more than they should be for what they're going to actually probably do this year. Number one, my guy, Najee Harris. Like, I still think he's going to be legit this year. I think he's going to have a lot of play in San Diego. I know people are down on him. All the Steelers fans down on him. I think he's way better than people give him credit for. And the second guy, Wandale Robinson. We were just talking about him in SFB. I missed out on him. I think Wandale Robinson is going to be freaking sneaky good this year. they're going to throw the ball a ton. Obviously, Neighbors is going to get his, but somebody else is going to. Robinson saw a ton of targets last year. I think he's maybe being the most slept on wide receiver in PPR leagues, just because I think he's going to see an insane amount of targets. And when he's been healthy, he's been good for the Giants. So those are my two guys that I'm like, I'm kind of like, I'm keeping an eye out on. I feel like people are down on them. I feel like I can trade for them. I think I can get them for pretty decent costs. And I just think people are like, I don't know if I love those guys. And I'm like, I really love both those players. So I'm going and getting both of them in any trade I can. And I traded for both of them, I think, in the last week, actually. So
nice. Rocky, do you have any, or do you want me to go?
I have a couple. Well, one, I am not sure that, well, one I think you might take, so I'm going to leave him alone. But I still have two after that. One, I don't know if he counts as a veteran, but he's on a second team, and I think he's been in the league 4 years, and I talk about him all the time, which is Javonte Williams. So if he counts, he's not old. But I've said it over and over again. I think he's going to, there's not a lot of competition there, even though, sorry, all you Jaden Blue Truthers. and I think he's going to be the guy scoring touchdowns. I think he's going to get the bulk of the workload. I think it's going to be a good offense because I think Dak is, back healthy and going to be good. And so Javonte Williams is one of them. And, of course, when you say veterans that are overlooked, I always have to bring up a quarterback. And it's another guy I've been saying all 9 point scoring season, which is Matthew Stafford.
It's not what I thought you were going to say. You're saying
going Kyler?
Yeah.
I was trying to go old, that's why.
Yeah,
that's
fair.
But I see veteran, I think, like really old guys. Yeah. That's why I clarified on Javonte. But I agree with Kyler, too. But yeah, Stafford, I think with Davante Adams there now, I think if he and Stafford can both stay healthy and Puka can stay healthy, because even though he's young, he's not been the picture of health either. If all three can stay healthy most of the year, I think he's got low end QB1 upside.
Yeah. So I think you think I'm going to say Kenneth Walker.
Is not the one the other one was a quarterback. I was curious if you, because you mentioned this guy a lot.
Oh, Dak. Yes. That's yes, absolutely. Dak, just look at the last month of what I've been saying, but yes, I agree with that. The two people I had, one kind of towards the top of the rankings, I think we put AJ Brown in the ground a little too fast. He's behind Garrett Wilson and JSN and Marvin Harrison and McConkey. I'm not putting him in the grave that fast. I think they're going to throw it more. AJ Brown is still the number one target. I think he's been written off just a little too quickly. And then my other one was Isaiah Pacheco, who's RB27. And I understand Breshard Smith is there and is probably going to catch some passes like Jet McKinnon used to do. But I think this offense almost has to be better because it can't be worse than it was last year. And I understand that's like they still went to the Super Bowl, but the offense wasn't very good last year, the Chiefs offense. And I think it will be better. And if Pacheco is healthy, it seems like he will still be the guy, which is what we're looking for. We are looking for a guy in a good offense, regardless of kind of necessarily what we think of his talent. So when you get kind of that deep in the running backs, I think that's kind of an easy choice. I mean, he's behind just in DLF ADP, and I understand it's Dynasty, it's a little messed up, but he's behind Scadabo, he's behind Montgomery, ETN, who no one likes, Mixon, and he was behind? Oh, Chuba. I would probably take Pacheco over basically all of those, maybe except Chuba. That's my other answer. But yes, Dak, Kenneth Walker, look at the everything I've been saying over the last couple months. We had one piece of news and we were like 12 hours away from not having any news this week. So Jonnu Smith to the Steelers, and I made the joke, obviously this was the biggest part of the trade that went down. And after that, Darren Waller has come out of retirement. He has ended his rap career after 8 months.
Oh, clearly he's the veteran we've been overlooking in the nominees.
Yes, exactly. This is why you don't drop like Andrew Luck or Tom Brady. But he's going to the Dolphins in a trade with the Giants, which props to the Giants for like getting an asset back for someone who was in retirement. Like, that's just funny to me. Okay. And then I heard from Heath Cummings today on CBS, there are 111 targets vacated by Jonnu in Miami. So Justin, obviously we've kind of heard this Jonnu to Steelers for a while, but give me kind of the winners and losers here from your point of view.
Yeah, I'm a Steelers fan, so this one was interesting to me. I like it popped off, and of course, I was getting text messages left and right. People were like, did you see that trade, Steelers trade? So first off, we know they need wide receivers. So of course, what do? They go trade for a tight end because that just makes logical sense if you're the Steelers. Obviously, Smith had a lot to do with this. He likes Jonnu, wanted Jonnu. The question is going to be, and I think we already thought they were going to play a lot of 12 personnel with two tight ends. But now it's like, okay, do they just absolutely hate Washington? Is he like going to be dead? Or are they talking like, we're going to play a lot of 13 set. We're going to play three tight ends where Washington blocks. Jonnu and Muth both play like big slot tight end. And then they only have like one wide receiver in the game. They just play DK all the time. And then occasionally throwing in Roman Wilson and Calvin Austin. I could see this team getting insane and just playing three tight ends because, like, that's what Smith wants to do. That's what he loves. He wants to pound the rock and play tight ends. It seemed like a crazy move to me, but I'm sure, at least I hope, that this was, like, a very planned out thing. And they're like, oh, we know exactly how we're going to use Jonnu Smith and Muth. I was in an auction draft and immediately put Muth up for auction the second this came out. Because everyone's like, oh, Moose dead. I'm like, perfect. I'll put him up for a dollar. No one's going to outbid me. And I got it.
Yep.
So, yep. Like, everybody's like super nervous about Muth all of a sudden, which I love Muth. I still think he's going to be good. It's just going to be interesting to see how what this offense looks like, what the plan is. I just think they end up deciding they play a bunch of tight ends. I think this kills. Everybody's like, this kills Moose value. I think this actually kills Roman Wilson and Calvin Austin value. That you were hoping one of those guys would take the number two.
Yep.
I think you're like, oh, it's going to be DK, Jonnu, and Muth. Like, those are going to be the three guys that catch, like, every pass with, like
the biggest wide receiver core ever. Jalen
Warren getting, like, ones out of the backup. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just going to – he's like, we're just going to run, you know, the jumbo package all the time. We're just going to run jumbo nonstop. And we'll see what happens. I think that's what the plan is at this point. They're going to protect Aaron Rodgers as much as possible. Washington, I think this hurts him, and I think it hurts the Wilson and Austin more than anybody. Just because I think they'll play two or three tight ends, and I definitely think Muth and Jonnu can coexist, even though they basically play the kind of same position. But I could see them playing two tight ends in line and one of those guys playing like the big slot. I absolutely can see that. And to jump on the IDP side of it, I know not necessarily an IDP show, but I'm an IDP guy.
Yeah.
Hate to see Minka go as a Steelers fan, but we have to be honest. He has not been great the last 2 years. Yeah. He's the guy who's been living off of his name recognition from 3 or 4 years ago. He has not been real great last year. He probably on that entire defense, the starting 11, he was probably the 9th or 10th best guy on that defense last year.
Which is crazy.
It really wasn't great. So losing him, it's kind of wild, but losing him kind of sucks. I hate to lose him. The big question for me on this trade is, what does Jalen Ramsey have left? And on top of what does he have left, have they already looked at Slay and go, oh, did we make a mistake? Because he just signed Slay. So now you just turn around and sign another old cornerback? Are you like worried that he's not going to make it? So you're like, oh, we better go get another cornerback because Slay is not going to come.
Yeah.
Because that's where they've got killed the last couple of years is cornerback. Like, Steelers have just been awful at corner. Joey Porter Jr. was good last year. Outside of the penalties, he had some huge games where he was just like flag, flag, flag. But he was pretty good for the most part. But IDP wise, pretty interesting to see the Minka flop for Ramsey. So obviously they obviously think that tight end, or excuse me, cornerback is a bigger worry than safety at this point.
Yep. Rocky, give me the Dolphins outlook then from the from this trade.
Funny because I was going to comment on something he said about.
Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
I will say I do think that one of the biggest losers of this trade actually is Janu. I do think that they both can coexist. 100%. Yeah, but I just think last year was such an outlier for him. He performed well in that offense, and he's with Aaron Rodgers. To me, that's not very good. it's a significant downgrade from Tua. And I know there's a lot of Tua haters out there, but and then with Muth there too. I mean, that's just one thing I wanted to add on there. He was talking about some of the other Steelers that are, I just think it's going to hurt John. Like, and I have a bunch of Johnny shares from trading for at the end of the year to try and make a championship.
Those are dead now. About it.
From the Dolphins, I still don't think I don't think Waller is going to come in and produce like Johnny did either. Mm-hmm. So I think we were talking a little bit about this in the Cool Kids Club chat. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably good for Waddle. Like that Johnny's not there to gobble up targets, and Waller is not going to command the targets that Johnny did last year.
Yeah. I think
I'm going to jump in there real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm just not sold that he's just going to be able to come back and be a stud for Miami at tight end. I like Malik Washington.
No, I agree.
I really do. I think he's going to be like a sneaky third option on this team, because I really think Johnny moving out now accelerates him more than Waller, because I think that means Washington is going to get a shot to take a lot of those underneath dump off routes that Johnny kind of lived on last year. I think a ton of that goes to Washington. I still like Waddle. I know it was a little bit of a mess last year. I'm one of those people who don't hate Tua. Like, I know a lot of people do hate Tua, but I actually think Tua's decent. Like, when he's healthy, I think he's actually pretty good. So I like Waddle this year. I'm buying at discount. As soon as this trade went down, like I said, I saw a couple people draft. I was in a fifth round of a dynasty draft where we can take rookies and free agents. And all of a sudden it was like, I took Torrey Horton in the fifth round. And then it was like Waller, 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 Waller. It's a four copy league. A bunch of Wallers went right off the board. I'm like,
damn.
I know it's a start two tight end league, but I'm like, is Waller going to really do anything? I'll tell you right now, since I'm a betting guy, I'm putting the over under on 10 games. That he plays 10.
Waller.
I think I'm taking the under.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how difficult you can work out at home. I don't care who you are, but when you take a whole year off of a major competitive sport, I don't think people realize you get the rest, but the downtime and just not having your head in it. Man, it's so hard to turn that back on. Yeah. You want to, but you've already I've been living the life. I've been hanging at home. I'm going to clubs. He's single now, got divorced. Mm-hmm. He's just hanging out. Man, it's hard to get right back into that man grinder mindset. Do as much as you can to bust your ass. Make sure you're the best you can be. It's so difficult to do that. I do not see him walking back in and being Raiders Darren Waller for a year. If he even got 60% of Jonnu's stats from last year, I'd be freaking shocked. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'd be shocked. If he ends up with 40 catches for 450 yards, 45 for 450 yards and a couple TDs, I actually think that's a success for him. And I think people are thinking it's going to be more than that. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, I don't know how you can think you can count on that.
Yep. Two winners for me. Rodgers is one. He just gets more help. He's going to have six guys who are 6'5" he can throw to the ball to in the end zone. So that's helpful for him. The other winner is Rocky's boy, Devon Achane, who might have 100 targets this year now. And I am officially joining Rocky on putting Achane over Breece Hall. It took this trade to do it, but I'm finally there. So it's I like this for Achane, and I like this for Waddle, and I like this for Rodgers. So I think I agree with everything you guys said, that it's not going to be Waller from Vegas. So, all right. Quick SFB draft talk since Justin's basically done. I went to Chicago Live. I didn't draft, but I watched. I just wanted to ask you, Justin, how, first off, any kind of takeaways you had going through it, and I guess, yeah, just any trends you saw.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I'm in the Indianapolis Colts division that was at the Cincy Live draft. We went last Sunday. So I had a little bit of time. We're in the last round of our draft now. We did the 10 rounds live and then been drafting since then. Walking around there, it was a big event. We had, I think, 10 drafts going at Cincy, if I'm correct. It was somewhere between 8 and 10. But just walking around and seeing the differences in strategy, especially since we were like week one of it, like starting. So I think Vegas had started and maybe someone else. But then they maybe had done theirs on Saturday. But it was like we were that first weekend, and you just kind of don't have any ADP. You don't know where guys are going. You're trying to figure out what everybody else's strategy is going to be. So whenever time you go early, I think it's a little bit harder to figure out what you want to do, where you're going to go. But then I think as you pick a little bit later, especially if you're in a slow draft, you're really able to analyze those picks a little bit more. Where you have some time in between picks, kind of figure out what direction you want to go. This year, I thought the strategies were all over the place because it's all flex. So every play is a flex play. You can start two QBs, but everything else is a flex. You just saw so many different builds. I saw people just running back, running back, running back, tight end, tight end, tight end. I ended up going first five rounds wide receiver, and that was not my strategy at all going in, to be honest with you. So I think you're gonna see different builds, and I definitely think you want to see when you're drafting, kind of figure out what other people are doing in your draft and be ready to adjust. And if everybody starts going QB heavy, you got to say, like, okay, am I jumping on QB or am I waiting and just taking the guys at the end? Because I saw drafts that QBs went right away. And then I saw other drafts, everybody just waited. Like the top two or three guys came off the board, then everybody's like, I'm going to wait as long as possible. So real interesting on kind of how that worked. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. I kind of like my team, but I don't know if that's a good side or a bad side. So it's not what I wanted originally wanted to do, but so far I like how it's turned out.
Yeah, I think the one thing I noticed from Chicago Live is that there was no trend or like build. I mean, one guy had 10 running backs in the first 10 rounds. So I think that was kind of a gimmick, though. He was cheering every time, like, you know, but I get it. And like, it was the positionless thing is definitely helping with that. But yeah, I think it'll be very interesting with slow drafts starting next week. And I think this is a good way to kind of get everyone's fix as we get going, because they'll start on Monday before we have another show. So, it'll be interesting. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm picking it too. We'll just see how it goes. But Rocky, you're at the back, right? You're like 11.
Yeah, I'm 11. I don't have much to add. I haven't been to any drafts or drafted. So. I'm just listening to you too.
Yeah.
Top perfect. Of the draft, I saw a lot of Bijan, a lot of Jamar Chase at the top of the draft. Our draft, actually, Josh Allen went number one, which I was a little surprised about, being in that you're not like locked into having to have QBs like in the past. Because in past drafts, I felt like it was like QB, 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 and you're like, dude, I got to get a QB before they're all gone. And this year, because you can play two, but you don't necessarily have to have two, it seemed like they fell a lot more this year. So I was one of those guys. I was kind of waiting to see. I know a guy picking in front of me at 10 originally was like, I'm not going to go QB. And then he ended up taking Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels for his first two picks. And he's like, I wasn't going to go QB.
Nothing
at
wrong
all.
With that, though.
They were there. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I like it. I actually think it was two good, really good picks. I originally, if I could have got it, I wanted to go Brock Bowers, Trey McBride at the end of the first. I wanted to double tap tight end there. But they both went pick 8 and pick 9. I wanted Christian McCaffrey or Jonathan Taylor possibly in that range. Justin Jefferson got to me. JT went pick before me, so I felt like I had to take JJ there. And then I'm like, I think the Cowboys are going to throw the ball a lot this year. So I jumped on CD Lamb, and I also did that because I thought there's a pretty good chance I could get Dak later and get that. I love the stack, the double up. That's like one of my favorite things in these type of tournaments. So I kind of ended up going there, and the guy right after me took McCaffrey. So I went all wide out. He went all running back. And I mean, I think that just sometimes kind of how it works. I also did change my strategy slightly this year because you think about always winning every week. But then in the playoffs, if you make the playoffs, it's your average for the year plus what you score. And so I was like, I did rethink things without having to have positions like who is going to score the most points most likely throughout the year, and I kind of drafted a lot on projected points scored as more than I looked at that more than I looked at necessarily positions and kind of went off that way. Just because I was like, hey, I need to score points every week as much as I can to make through the playoffs. Because my big downer last year was I made the playoffs. I lost the first round by 1.5 points. I missed the cutoff in the first round. And then my team went off down the stretch. I would have made the semis, at least the semis, if I would have just made that 1.5 point cutoff in the first round, I would have got there. So I was like, oh, if I would have just averaged a point and a half more in the season, I would have easily made it through. And it was one of those, I had a ton of guys on bye that week, that first playoff week. And I was
like, because that was Spymageddon.
It just killed me. I had a ton of guys on bye. And I was like, I could have made it through the bye if I would have just scored just a hair more points every week, like one or two more points every week throughout the season, I would score more. So that was heavy on my mind as well. And that's, I think, why I went wide receiver heavy, thinking, hey, these guys are most likely to score me good points every week, as opposed to a running back who I mean you could get a really good week out of or a terrible week out of. And if it came down to that, a lot of times I was like taking the wide out over the running back.
Right. And then Eric in the chat asks, he's also at 2. Are you considering Bowers or McBride? No, because especially in a positionless format, tight ends especially don't matter. I know there is extra reception bonuses stuff.
They were
but
both top 10 scorers last year.
I know that, but
overall.
I know. But at 2, I'm not going to take that. I'd rather have give me Chase or Bijan. I think that's the easy choice at 2. Which is funny because I picked
it's
2.
It's tough. I would take I like those guys there. It's tough to take them top 2 though, right? It's like I really like those guys, and it's if you're on sleeper, I think it's 3.5 points for a tight end per catch.
Yep.
So it is a lot. So
I'm looking at the MFL.
If you get 100 catches. Yeah, so the MFL is slightly different than the sleeper scoring. So they're doing targets on MFL, but because they can't do targets on sleeper, he gave everyone an extra half point per reception to count the target and the reception in one. So it's slightly different there.
It's pretty close, though, I guess.
But if you're getting 100-plus catches for over 1,000 yards, even in a positionless as a tight end, you got to think you're getting one more point per catch than every other wideout that gets 100 catches for 1,000 yards. So that's the one thing. It is tough. It is tough, but I wouldn't – if somebody took Bowers at 2, I wouldn't flip out. I'd be like, it's maybe a little early, but hey.
Someone took Bowers at 1, I think, in Chicago. I can't remember if that was – it was up there, though. And
again, last year is not this year, but Bijan and Chase are 1-3 in last year's scoring.
There we go.
They were the heaviest ones I saw. When I went around looking, for the most part, it was Bijan and Chase were like 1 or 2. Occasionally, like I said, my draft, Josh Allen went 1. But like most of the drafts, it was Chase or Bijan were 1 and 2. quarterbacks were kind of falling close to the end of the round.
Yeah. And then Roman in the chat says, tight end hater. Hi, I'm Frank. Frank in the chat. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the show. I am the tight end hater. I am the tight end hater. And I'm not really sorry about it. Okay. Normally I have the guest choose between trades and listener questions, but there's only one trade. So we're going to go right to that. Trade Axe leagues are 12 teams. Superflex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they'll never break. They'll always hold. But we only have a TA2 trade. This one is Jonathan Taylor and a 26 third for Quinshon Judkins and a 26 second. Justin, what do you think?
So this one, I'm a little biased in, I have to be honest. Be on top of being a Steelers fan, I have been a Colts season ticket holder for about 17, 18 years now. So JT, I'm JT. I love JT. He's my guy. I would say JT on this. I know he's a little bit older. If your team is real young and you're trying to build, maybe I go Judkins here. Also, 26, I'm pretty open on those draft picks. I don't know that seconds are going to be that much better than thirds in 26. I'm leaning JT here, especially if I'm contending. I know people are way down on the Colts offense. I mean, way down. I've been getting some really nice Colts players I never can get because no one wants to trade me Colts players, but everyone's out on the Colts because they don't know about Anthony Richardson, not sure about Daniel Jones. I think JT crushes no matter who plays. So I'm in on JT in the third here. I do like Judkins a lot. I really think he could be a JT type of player eventually. I think the Browns offense is worse than the Colts. Personally, I think they're in a tougher division. My worry is I think the Colts can stay in a lot of games and JT can continue to get touches. Where my worry is Judkins, they start out with him, they're going with him. Dylan Sampson comes on the field because they're throwing and in third down situations all the time and they're playing from behind. And then we see a lot of Dylan Sampson. And Dynasty, I've been grabbing both those guys. But in this trade specifically, I'm leaning JT in the third.
I'm with JT that I would go JT. I was just looking, not that, and we always say, you know, ADP does not equal trade value, but Jonathan Taylor is RB7, Judkins is 14. That seems about right to me in terms of like how I think of them and the difference in value, especially points value. I get it. I don't love the Colts offense either. We've talked about that plenty on this show, but I do love JT. I do think Daniel Jones is going to start a good amount of games, which I think actually improves the offense. And I'm not as big believer of Judkins as a lot of people are. Plus, he's on the Browns. And, I mean, Chubb was able to perform on the Browns for a while. We'll see if Quinshon Judkins is Chubb. But they're so bad. And I don't think it's – even though he's young, he's a rookie, I don't think it's improving anytime in the near future. And he's stuck there for 4 years. So I don't love Judkins on the whole anyway. So I'll take JT and the picks second to a third doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I agree with what they both said. I don't really have a lot to add. I would take JT before everyone calls him old. He's still only 26. So I think
he's got some years left. He's not dead.
Yeah.
He's not dead.
He's not dead. Yes. All right. Let's move on to listener questions. Rocky, I'm sorry. I didn't write this one, I promise. Steve, at Fantasy Ladder,
yeah.
What is your ideal 4th of July party meal?
This is just trolling.
Justin?
Me.
It is.
I own a barbecue restaurant, so typically barbecue. We usually do some brisket then. Or pork. The kids love the smoked wings, so I'm usually jumping on that. I've in the past, in my younger years, I used to host some pretty gigantic 4th of July parties. We did a whole hog roast a couple times, which is pretty awesome, but a ton of work. North Carolina style whole hog roast. Have you ever been to one of those? They're freaking awesome. But I'm a barbecue guy, so I'm doing all the barbecue. I'm getting out the sausages, getting out the dogs, wings, the whole meal, full meal deal, doing it all on there. And then I'm a chips and dip guy as well. I love chips and dip. So doing some smoked queso, like queso dip on the smoker is always that, or a buffalo chicken dip. Our two things are just on 4th of July, as you're out there sipping on a brewski, hanging out on the day, enjoying the weather and the fireworks. Some chips and dip, they can keep you alive. Just get a little bit of those in your system, keep it rolling. So that's where I'm at.
Do I need to answer this question?
No, we can skip you.
I have the worst food takes known to man, JT. That's why. If you don't listen to the show, I eat the worst food takes. I eat like a 10-year-old. So give me a hot dog and a hamburger and I'm good. And a beer.
I'm actually kind of
don't give one to a 10-year-old though.
Yeah, right. I'm actually the same as Rocky. I'm pretty standard. I'm actually kind of I'm honestly just a bigger guy. I'll eat anything, but yeah, no, I'm pretty happy with just like hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff and a beer to get you through it. And then the other question I had was, do you still like fireworks displays? And Andrew Hall said he's too old for fireworks displays now. Vets and dogs hate them, and I'm a huge fan of vets and dogs. So, JT, do you like fireworks displays still?
So if it was just me, like, and I was going somewhere, would I like go somewhere specifically for the fireworks? No. Yeah. If I have the kids with me and the kids like the fireworks, then I'm like, okay, I'm in on fireworks because the kids like the fireworks. But like, if I miss out on the fireworks, like if I have like a 4th of July party at my house and I don't have fireworks at my house, doesn't bother me at all. I'm not like, oh, we got to get fireworks, we got to do all this. I've done the whole fireworks show stuff in the past. It can be fun. It's not usually my favorite thing to do. So I'm always like passing it off to somebody else who's a pyro. And it's like, oh, I'll do them. I'll light everything. I'm like, great. You can handle the fireworks. But I don't love them. They're cool. I could take them or leave them. I usually go if the kids want to go. If the kids are like, yeah, let's go, I want to see the fireworks, I'm in. If they're like, eh, we don't care, then I'm like, cool, we'll just stay on the back porch.
Yeah, copy paste JT's Rocky answer, except for the part where I've ever done fireworks my own by myself. I've never done that. So, but everything else, I just exactly the same.
Hey, not doing fireworks, make sure you keep all your fingers. So that's always exactly the wise.
I'm kind of the same. You've seen one firework, you've seen them all. Okay, let's get to Dynastud's question list. People say to get injury away running backs for the inevitable post-injury value spikes, but which potential injury away guys are actually potential sells because they're really more than one injury away and aren't that good? Bigsby is one for me, minimal receiving and new competition. Justin, what do you think?
Yeah, that Jaguars running back room is going to be really interesting how this thing works out. Obviously, ETN, who everyone seems to be down on. People are higher on Tank. I'm not a big Tank guy, though I have him in a few leagues. I think he's going to be part of that mix, but you never know. The new coaching staff, they went tooting. I have to say, because it's on brand for me, LaQuinn Allen's my favorite running back in that entire room. And he's a seventh rounder rookie. So he might not ever see the field, but I still think he's the best running back on that team. That's my Syracuse fandom coming through probably. I just think he has a really good receiving profile. I think he can do a little bit of everything. He's obviously not the most athletic guy. I mean, you put him and Brayshaw Tootin next to each other, Tootin is going to smoke him all day running a 4.38 while LaQuinn Allen runs an old man 4.58. But I just like his ball control. He can do a little bit of everything. He can catch out of the backfield. He also can play slot wide receiver, which he did a lot in college, where they moved him around and they set him up on linebackers and like intentionally threw him the ball. So he wasn't just a check down merchant. I like him a lot. I think it's going to be at least a year before we see major changes, but I definitely can see by next year, ETN, Tank Bigsby possibly being gone. And then we have the Tootin' and Allen show where Tootin' is the explosive back. Allen's kind of their like safe go-to guy that doesn't make any bad plays, protects the football, can catch the ball. So it's going to be wild this year. I'm moving off Tank and ETN if I can. The problem is I don't know what value you're getting for them because I think a lot of other people are in the same boat. They're like, they don't love them either. So then you start looking like, is it worth moving them for what I can get them? Or do I just say, screw it and wait and see what happens? Which I have to be honest, in most situations I have those guys in, I'm saying wait and see. Just never know what's going to happen on the offense. Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. My Allen comparison, here's why I like Allen. I don't quite think he's as good as Bucky Irving. I don't think he's that exact same player. I think Bucky's a little more of a playmaker. But I think he has some of the same skills without being an elite athlete. So that's one of the things that for LaQuinn Allen, I'm kind of excited. Now, again, seventh round pick, he never sees the field again. we don't know if he ever gets out there. But he's my favorite dynasty flyer in the last round of rookie picks, rookie drafts. I'm grabbing him in 4-12, fifth round. If I got a fifth round pick, that's kind of my guy. I have a feeling we're going to be just all year talking about this Jags running back room and what the hell's going on. Like, we're just going to be like, what are they doing? Who is it this week? Who's the next week? Oh my God, what are they doing? And I this room has me nervous as can be, but I think that's most people at this point.
I didn't really have a great name for this when I saw this question. JT had a lot of good stuff there. One name that kind of popped into my head is because he's kind of been, I think, sort of a one injury away guy for a couple of years, but I don't think he is anymore, is Kendre Miller.
Yeah.
Because we are a Devin Neal pod. So, I think.
Dude, Devin Neal's my boy. I love Devin Neal.
So that was the one name that popped up for me. And it's not like when Kendre has had the opportunity, he's really been able to do much with it anyway. Not that he's had a ton, but.
I was trying to think of one, and it's hard to sell him because he's a rookie, but I think the answer is Scadabo. I think we are writing off Tracy a little too fast, too. And if someone's going to sell me something meaningful for Scadabo with the hope that Tracy's either going to underperform or get hurt, then I think Scadabo is definitely one of those.
I think Scadabo is super interesting because I think he's way better than Tracy.
Yep.
But I'm not sure that matters on the Giants offense.
Agreed.
You know, so I was like, even if he is better, is he actually going to perform at all for fantasy purposes? I'm worried about it. I've been taking Scadabo in a few places where I needed running back and I didn't have a high enough pick to get a guy early. And so I was kind of stuck in that early mid second round where I like grabbed Scadabo. I like him. I think he's got one monstrous like fantasy season in him, whether that's this year or next year or the year after. I think he's got one big fantasy season where he gets everybody fired up and then he completely falls off the face of the earth. That is my Scadabo, I guess, down the line prediction. I think he ends up having one pretty good year that gets everybody excited. And then we're like, oh, just went by the wayside. So, but that Giants O-line is terrible. So even if he ends up being the guy, man, if you could talk somebody into like an older RB, that's going to be like solid for the next year or two for Scadabo, I would trade him for a guy that I think I'm going to get definite value from right away.
Yeah, the problem with Scadabo is he's talented. He just went to, like, the perfectly wrong place, which is what Justin kind of just said, right? Is like he couldn't have gone to a worse spot for what he is and what he wants to do. So, like, if you told me, like, someone's offering me, if I'm a contender, like Mixon for Scadabo, like even with Chubb there, yeah, I'll take Mixon just to take a shot at it. So
Yeah, I was thinking like Mixon, like James Conner, Montgomery.
Yep.
Like some of these guys are like, yeah, they got these two Chuba. You know, we got these guys on like 2-year deals, but they're like they're pretty good last year. Both their teams re-signed them, so they obviously think they have a couple years left. Do you make that move over a Scadabo over the next 2 or 3 years? The thing with Scadabo is if he loses receiving work, which he's a good receiver, so he should get receiver work. But if he loses that to Tracy, like, ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, being the first and second down back on the Giants only. I mean, you're taking Scadabo hoping he wins the whole role. Like, yes. He's doing everything, and Tracy's getting, like, 25% of touches. If not, I just feel like you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, the names behind him in DLF are Pacheco. I would take him. Connor, I would take him. Swift, I would take him. Then we're getting to, like, Bishal Tootin and Charbonnet, Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, maybe, but... I like.
Yeah, Mason. I'd rather have Scadabo over all those guys personally.
Over Pacheco still?
Oh, no, over the later guys you said. Oh, okay. I'd rather have him over Tootin. I'd rather have him over.
Yeah, Yes, that Charbonnet, second.
Any of those other guys. Yep. That second group. But I think the group you said before there. I mean,
Pacheco, Connor. Yep.
If you like Scadabo more, which I like Scadabo, so I'm not like trying to trash Scadabo.
Right.
It's like you're really hoping he is like the running back one and taking three down, you know, four down duties, and is like really the guy on an offense. Because here's the thing: is if they're on offense is losing, which they should be most of the time, and they're throwing the ball a ton, if he can play that third down role and actually catch balls out of the backfield, which he did in college, now all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I'm kind of pumped because he maybe only runs for 750 or 800 yards, but he gets you another 500 or 600 receiving because they're dumping it off to him a ton with Neighbors and Wandell Robinson because they're throwing the ball all the time from behind. That's where I think you're really hoping that's what you get out of Scadabo, I think, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. Rocky, anything to add? Good?
No, Giants stink.
Okay. All right, second question.
I concur, sir. I concur.
Yeah, yeah, you guys said it all. There was plenty, you know. I don't have much to add there.
Yeah. All right, he said, I know this is Trade Addicts, so the answer is going to be I'm trading them as soon as I get a good offer. But in a normal league, how long are you expecting to hold a high upside tight end you got in rookie drafts? Asking as a Loveland owner who hasn't liked the camp injuries. Short answer for me, you're stuck at least for a year. I don't know why you would get rid of Loveland now.
The other quick answer for me is not because of some camp injuries. It's not when you sell. Yeah.
Yeah. Justin, anything to add on that kind of high level?
I'm a tight end guy, unlike you, Frank. So I know you hate tight ends. I'm a tight end guy. I'm the guy I'm trading for like a million late fourth and fifth round picks so I can take all these guys that are the most complete flyers ever and stash them on my taxi squad for 2 or 3 years, hoping they hit, and then I can pretend like I'm a genius when they're like tight end 12 on the year, and I'm like, I held him for 3 years. He was tight end 12. Yeah. Like, that's me. So I'm always holding a million tight ends. I always assume, unless it's like Loveland's a top-end guy, so you got to hope he gets in the mix early, which I think he will in this offense. If you're not taking a tight end in the first – if he's a first-round pick, I think you have 2-year turnaround on him, because if you wait till year three and he hasn't done anything by year two, I think now people are really freaking nervous. I think you got to get rid of him before that. If he's a tight end, I think round 2 to round 5 or 6, I think the natural progression is it's going to take 3 years for that guy to really hit his fantasy ceiling. It's just, we've gotten, you know, spoiled, I should say, with tight ends recently, with a lot of young guys hitting it right away and crushing. That's just not the way it typically works in the NFL. It usually takes these guys minimum 2 to 3 years before we, I mean, look at everybody selling off McBride and all of a sudden he blows up. Well, yeah, it takes a second sometimes, guys. You know, not everybody can be Brock Bowers, who's the man right off the bat. Like, it just doesn't happen like that. So if I'm drafting a tight end, I'm expecting, like, I have a lot of Bensonat for the Commanders. When I drafted him, I knew I was waiting 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. I had every expectation he was not going to play, and if he played, he wasn't going to be fantasy relevant for a couple years. So for me, if I'm taking anybody outside of that first round, guys that were top 10, 15 picks, I'm waiting 3 years before I move on from them, unless they just you don't really believe them. They hit something and somebody's willing to give you something big for them. But Loveland's a guy I would not move off of unless you have a Bears fan or somebody who's absolutely loving him. And I was like, dude, I'll give you like a 27 first. I'll give you a 26 first, like combined or, you know, something crazy for him. Then I can see you being like, oh, I'm nervous. I'll move off him. But right now, there is no reason to see that. He's a better receiving tight end than Laporta. And we saw what Laporta could do in the right situation mm-hmm. in Detroit. So I'm not – if you took Loveland in the top 10, which I'm guessing you did in your draft, I'm not moving off of him anytime soon. Got to give the guy time to work.
Agreed.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you said at the top, Frank, with the – I mean, at least a year. I kind of think probably two because – like JT said, most of these guys, you know, we've seen it with Bowers and Laporta, but most of these guys don't perform, you know, like gangbusters year one, rookie tight ends. We've been lucky the last few years. But so if that second year is not what you're hoping it to be, especially from a higher end guy. Like, I'm not talking about like, yeah, the guys you're drafting in the fifth, hold on to them forever if you want, because you're not going to get anything for them if they're not producing anyway. So, but yeah, I think you got to wait probably at least 2 years, see how that second year goes. I'm not expecting a lot of a rookie tight end year one, despite what we've seen from a couple guys in you know the last few years here.
Yeah, it's funny with all the after the Janu trade, all the people just like screaming for the Dolphins to go get Michael Mayer and just like save their teams because everyone took Mayer 2 years ago. That was a very funny thing to just follow on Twitter. Okay. I know it's too early to tell anything.
Here's the funny thing is, I think people think... Oh, sorry. Sorry, Frank. I was jumping here. I was going to say, I think people are like in this freak out mode that like Mayer has to get traded in order to be any good. I don't think he has to get traded to be good.
No, like, they have to get Arthur Smith.
I agree with you. I'm like, if Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator for the Raiders, I'm like, he would be playing Mayer and Bowers everywhere with Mayer being the inline and Bowers being the slot guy. I think they can both play. And I've said this numerous times in the fact that I think you can play both of them because Bowers is a freak. You can do anything you want with Bowers. You can move him anywhere. It doesn't matter where you line him up. He's a stud. So you should keep Michael Mayer, which goes perfectly in this tight end talk, is how long are you going to wait on? This dude was an early second, right? If I'm correct?
Yeah.
He was an early second round pick in the draft. Like, had rookie year, then last year had some personal issues, some stuff away. Year three is the breakout. This is the time to go get him. I actually think he can be good on this Raiders team. I mean, look what they've done in the past with tight ends, using multiple tight ends, especially through Pete Carroll's history at Seattle, which is super frustrating in the past because they wanted to play like four tight ends. I actually think he can be good. People think he has to get traded to save his value. I'm not sure he does, especially when you got Ashton Jeanty at running back now. You don't take Ashton Jeanty top five and be like, oh, we're going to trade away our best blocking tight end.
Agreed.
Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. Like, no, you keep him, you block him. Him and Bowers are your studs. You get whatever you can on the outside from Jacoby Meyer. You know, you hope Thornton, Besh, one of these other guys who kind of can do a little bit of everything. I think Mayer's in a good spot here, man. I was all over Mayer last year when everybody was out on him. I was like, trade to me. I'm picking him up off waiver wires. I stashed him all over the place because I think we see, I don't, man, I can't even tell you my projections for him, but I think we actually see a solid year out of him because I really think that Bowers is such a freak that he doesn't really count as a tight end and that Mayer is really their real tight end and Bowers is just their wide receiver option number one, whatever you want to call
him. Right. I could see that. So his next question basically is the reports on Travis Hunter at wide receiver. at Jags camp weren't super encouraging. I, you know, believe what you want to believe. But if he said if he isn't a stud, which non-BTJ Hunter wide receiver could have a surprisingly good year on the Jags? I mean, the easy answer is Diami Brown, right? Because they signed him in the offseason. But, I mean, I'm reading through the depth chart right now. Parker Washington, Joshua Cephas, Austin Trammell, Trenton Irwin, Louis Riesemit. There isn't one. It's Brenton Strange, like, or Diami. But I don't know if you guys have – do you like one between the two of them? Do you like Strange, Justin?
I like Strange. I think he's going to have a solid year. So, again, we're going back to that tight end talk. He's coming in year three. There's a guy who played on a team, a college team, who was known for producing really good tight ends, but guys who almost put up zero college stats because they're just athletic freaks. They block most of the time. I think Strange is in for a big, big year. Is he going to catch 100 balls Evan Engram style? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. But I think he could be a top 15 tight end. Diami Brown, for me, is a best ball play. He's the guy. I think he's going to have some big games, but they're just going to be like two targets, zero receptions, 0 yards. And the next week it's going to be like six targets, four catches, 101 yards and a touchdown. Because you're just, he's going to get some weird matchups where he can get exploited. And I know it's not technically the question. I believe in Travis Hunter. I think Travis Hunter is really good, man. I love Travis Hunter. I was big on Travis Hunter. I bet on Travis Hunter to win the Heisman the year before he won the Heisman, like that year coming out. I have the receipt. I bet on him December for the next year. I think Travis Hunter is just a freak, man. I love Travis Hunter. I don't believe any of that. I think Hunter and BTJ have a shot to be one of the better combos in the entire league. I think those guys are going to get a majority of the touches. So I do like that Diami Brown. I just, to me, he's going to be a question mark in a lineup. In a start lineup, is going to be really hard to play him, I think, all the time. Good flex, maybe fill in. Definitely like him in best ball situations. Strange would be the guy I lean towards. Parker Washington, ooh, I don't know, man. He had one or two games last year, but he is a best ball guy too, and I'd rather have Diami over Parker Washington personally.
Yeah, the answer is nobody. None of the above, and in a large part because Trevor Lawrence isn't that good.
Hey, hey, leave Trevor alone.
He needs the stud receivers more so than he's going to make a stud receiver. So
yeah,
that's my take.
Before,
I still believe everyone, in T-Law, at least for one too. More year. For one more year, yeah, I believe too. In T-Law.
One more year, and then he can be dead to all of us. Before everyone freaks out about how Hunter's doing in camp and all these other things, one thing I like to remind people, Jamar Chase couldn't catch the ball because the white lines weren't on the ball or something like that in 2021. That. So Hunter's going to be fine.
This is why I ignore camp talk.
I know, but it's July 1st, and we have to talk about something. All right, he says Steph Diggs has one knee, is old, and has a pink powder habit. Meanwhile, every other pass catcher on the Pats may be meh and below. Is Drake May's dynasty stock inflated? What are the chances I can buy him for significantly cheaper in half a season or next offseason? Justin?
I think we saw really good signs at the end of last year. I like Drake May a lot, actually. It's going to be interesting. I don't think this pass seems very good. And so if you're wanting to buy Drake May, it might actually, and I usually don't say this, but it might be worth like waiting the first couple weeks and seeing what happens. Yeah. If he doesn't play great right off the bat, like trying to go buy him, because I actually believe in him long term. But we're going to see some rough weeks from him, and I don't think it's just because of him. I just think it's going to be because the Pats are just, you know, trying to figure it out, trying to figure out who's doing what, where. I like Kyle Williams a decent amount. Who knows about anybody else on that team? I mean, you got Boutte, you got Baker, who disappeared off the face of the earth. Jalen Polk, depending on what – advanced metrics you looked at was like the worst player in the league last year in like a ton of categories, which is not great as a second round wide receiver pick. I think Diggs can be decent, but it's, I mean, we're on a sinking ship. I mean, how much are you going to get out of him at this point? I think I'm worried about if I'm trading for May, I probably wait because I think you're going to have to pay way more for him right now than you will if the Patriots start 0-4.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I think to answer his question, yeah, I think his stock is inflated. I think it's a lot. And I like Drake May too, and I like him long term. But I think the premise of the question is right that you probably will be able to get him cheaper after this year. The reason we do like him a lot, you know, besides liking him as a prospect coming out, is they were so bad last year around him, and he surprised us by doing well enough. But it's not like he was great. He, you know, it was just, wow, you did that with that.
He wasn't horrible, right? You're like, oh, yeah, I expected him to be exactly horrible, and he wasn't horrible, exactly. So he's better than we thought. Yeah,
I was looking at it when I saw the question a little bit earlier, and he was like QB 28 in points per game and trade attic scoring or something like that. It's just that he wasn't gruesome with no receivers and not much else around him. But unfortunately, that's still the case. You know, Stephon Diggs is like the best receiver, and he just pointed out all the reasons why that's not great in the question. So yep. I think he's, when he has a second year that's more like last year and doesn't really improve production-wise, I do think his value is going to go down. So it probably is a smart move to try and wait after the year. And I don't think you're risking a lot waiting, you know, that all of a sudden Drake May is going to be like QB 10 or something.
His first 3 weeks are Raiders at home versus Crosby and Wilkins, and then at the Dolphins, which is terrible in September because you got to play in the humidity, and then he hosts the Steelers. So check in after week three and see how that owner's doing.
Start for a QB, yeah. I think the Steelers are going to muck up a ton of games this year, especially early on. They tend to be like, at least the last 3 years, they've been way better the first half of the season on defense than the second half. I mean, I could legit see Drake May being like 165 yards on like 55% completion and no touchdowns and a pick in a like 17-6 loss to the Steelers, and people be like, I'm out. And then they're like, you want to trade Drake May? Like, why do you want him? I don't know. I think he could be okay in the future at some point, and then maybe you get somebody who's real pissed in your league. And it's like, I thought I had my stud of the future, because we all have those guys in our leagues that just like, they just overreact. They can't see the long term, even though it's dynasty, and they're just ready to bail on a player. Like, just wait for that guy and be like, oh, he's averaging 165 yards passing, one touchdown, two picks per game to start off the first two games of the season, and they'll be out on him, and you can buy him for a lot cheaper than you would have right at this moment.
Yep. Because after that, they play the Panthers, who have gotten better, but, you know, and then they go to Buffalo. Then they go to Buffalo. So check in, keep tabs on that owner, because I wouldn't buy him now. I would sell him now, maybe, if you don't believe it. But check in after like five or six, because then they play New Orleans and the Titans and the Brett. There will be better games, but see if
there's going to be a Drake May run. There's going to be a run where Drake May puts up some crazy stats and everybody's going to be like, oh, Drake May. But there's going to be some weeks where it's like real rough sledding and you're going to have to be like, all right, can I buy this guy when everybody's out on him?
Yep. And this is the stretch. It's literally after the Bills game. They go to the Saints. Mm-hmm. They go to the Titans. They host the Browns. They host the Falcons. And they go to the Bucks. So that's all offense games.
Those are offense. Those should be offensive games. So yeah, look to be buying the first 3-4 weeks. That's I like where you're at there, Frank.
Yep. And then his final question is: who are your favorite deeper Twitter followers or follows in the dynasty space? Who are the buried gems? I have not been in the dynasty space long enough to answer this question, but do you two have a question?
Well, I'm just gonna say, I've been out of the Twitter space long enough that, yeah, I don't have a good answer. Like, 5 years ago, you asked me this question, I would have had 10 names for you. But like yeah. the last couple of years, I've just kind of been out on Twitter. I'm surprised everybody who's following me hasn't unfollowed me. I rarely post. I don't even scroll that much. So yeah, I am the wrong person to answer this question. So hopefully maybe JT has a couple names.
I'm pretty heavy in the Twitter universe. I'm out there pretty much most of the time answering, interacting with people. I'll throw out a couple names. My buddy John McGlynn at John McGlynn 75 that I do Dynasty Evaluation Show. Now we're on Profile Now Plus. So that's we just moved over there. He's a good follow. He's on there interacting with people all the time. Not just fancy stuff, but just good old funny life stuff. He's always a good follow. So John McGlynn 75. Another guy I like a lot, has good stuff to say. And commissioner base. So I'm up friends with a lot of guys at commission leagues because we all like always trying to like make our leagues better, figure out stuff. Commissioner Breezy, you can look him up. McBreeze11 is his handle, at McBreeze11, Commissioner Breezy. Good dude. I think he did the Atlanta live draft from Detroit. My mom's family's all from Michigan. So he's another good guy I follow. Couple other guys out there, depending on what you're in. If you're into like, I'm trying to think of dynasty guys. I'm really into C2C and CFF lately with college stuff. So I follow a ton of college stuff. Du Bois, Kevin over at Debbie Royale is a really good follow. He does dynasty too, so it's not just college stuff. But he's always got good content, really nice podcasts. If you're looking for Debbie guys, if you're in a Debbie league, trying to figure out where those young guys in college mix to where they go in the pros, or where you can trade them for, or where you can draft them. That's my go-to spot, Debbie Royale, for those guys. They know what they got going on over there. They super helpful. Always super, super helpful. If you're an IDP guy, obviously I do IDP. There's a lot of good IDP guys out there. Steve Hungarter, IDP Hunter, at IDP Hunter. It's a guy that I've had on our show a couple times. Really good guy. Knows IDP, you know, left and right. He's a deep follow. So, you know, I can keep going on. A few other guys, S.E. Marrero at the PPR show, this guy I'm friends with. He does a little bit of everything. Dynasty. He does college stuff. He's on the Debbie DGens. One of my favorite guys. Known him a long, long time. He puts out good stuff as well. I probably could go on for probably too long, but those are some of my favorite guys in the space. Feel free, if everybody missed that and want to know who I was talking about and are like, oh, I missed the handle, who was it, just get a hold of me at JT Orange on Twitter, and I can throw you over probably plenty of follows depending on what you're exactly looking for. If you're looking for redraft, dynasty, Debbie, college content, IDP content, I have a lot of guys I follow in the space. So feel free to hit me up. I'll send you over some guys that you should be definitely keeping an eye on. Good info, good stats, all that jazz.
Oh, Frank disappeared. Okay, so real quick, that's the end of our show sheet, but that's not going to be quite the end of our show. I don't know if you've been glancing over here in the chat, JT, but Eric, a little while back, had asked, we're just going to lightning round some of these questions. If you can think of any names that come to mind, we don't need to go in depth on it or anything, but he asked some fun 4th of July. He said, for the 4th of July, who are your following players? And then he gives a bunch of July themed things here. First is Fantasy Hot Dog, a not actually good player who has all the less experienced managers, in parentheses, kids. One, is it blasphemy if I say Trevor Lawrence for this one too? But who do you have, JT?
You're coming at me, bro. No, I like Trevor Lawrence. I think that's probably a good one. A lot of people are out on T-Law. I can see why. I personally am still in. I can still see the potential. I've seen some of the injuries, what he's had to deal with, coaching staffs. I still think he's a solid guy out there, but I absolutely understand the people that are out on him at this point. Like, to me, I can see it. It makes sense. Man, I tell you what, who a guy guy I'm out on that a lot of people like, and it's probably just because where I'm from. I'm in Illinois. We have a lot of Packers fans here as well. I'm just out on Jordan Love. I really think that Jordan Love has hit fantasy max. Like his season two seasons ago, I don't think he ever tops that fantasy point wise again in his career, unless something drastically changes. I think he's a solid real life NFL quarterback. I just don't think he's a great fantasy quarterback. And I think there's a lot of people who don't realistically look at his stats and just think, oh, he's a top 10 guy. And I'm like, is he? Is he really? Especially for the future. He's a guy that, to me, I see a lot of people who like Love and take him pretty high. Anytime I've had him in the last 2 years, I've moved him, and I moved him for what I thought were pretty nice trades. I flopped a second and a third and traded him straight up for Herbert and got a second, gave up a third before last season, and I felt like I smashed.
I'm always here for anti-Jordan Love. Are we on hot dogs? I think my hot dog is Kyren Williams.
Oh, yep.
So, he's mine. I think a lot of people fall in love with the Rams running back, and then he's going to get replaced one of these days. And I think this year's probably it. I've said that the last 3 years though, so I could be wrong. Okay. The fantasy hamburger, who is the staple of your roster?
I took this as basically someone, a good player that you have on a lot of rosters. I think it's probably somebody you mentioned earlier, which would be Devin Achane. I have him all over the place. I say that, I've said this a million times on this show, that if there's a guy I don't like coming out, like a lot of times if he turns me around quick, I then fall in love with him. And that's what happened with Achane. I was not a big Achane guy coming out. And then now I'm like one of the biggest Achane stands out there. So that would probably be the guy for me.
Yeah, for me, it's Jonathan Taylor, JT on the Colts. Like, I've got him everywhere. If I have any shot to get him in any league, I have him on my team. He's a pretty big staple. Probably one of the players I own the most across my leagues. I just feel like he's a solid, like, if he's your RB1, RB2, you can kind of take a chance on. Just even though the injuries have piled up a little bit, I think that's actually hurt his value slightly, which has made it easier for me to get him, which I can't hate on. I can get him for cheaper now. So JT is definitely my guy at running back for the hamburger.
If you have listened for a while, my answers won't surprise you. Garrett Wilson, Bucky Irving, and Kenneth
Hall. Bucky Irving would be one of mine too. Actually, I have so much Bucky Irving.
Yes. So, yes, Bucky would be my easy answer to that one. Okay. Fantasy firework, a player who puts you over the top.
I wasn't really sure what to do with this question.
I don't either. I'm going to say, I'm going to name one off that, and we'll play it this way. I'm going to say T. Higgins, because the upside that T. Higgins can bring you as a standard wide receiver two on your team, but can be a guy who wins you weeks or wins you leagues, is the answer for me on this question. We can go off of it that way. Who's like the guy who has upside for you?
The guy has upside, and the guy that I just felt like, when I got him last year in drafts, I ended up trading him in one or two leagues, and literally I immediately regretted it. And I'm still actually upset about it now that I traded him. So for me, it's Brian Thomas Jr. I saw him at the combine in Indy last year, and I immediately was like, I freaking love this guy. He is going to be freaking awesome. I immediately was in love with him. He became my clear-cut wide receiver four, and it wasn't even close to me at wide receiver four. And I really was like, I think I'd rather have them over Rome Odunze. So last year, he was like pushing wide receiver three for me. I absolutely loved him after seeing the draft. I thought he was going to crush. I got some Puka offers, some crazy stuff early in the year. Everybody's like, you got to take it, man. That's all the value. You got to take Puka. And why I like Puka, I really love Brian Thomas Jr. So I moved him in a couple spots, but he's the guy every time I look through my roster and I scroll down, when I see that BTJ there, I'm like, ooh, I love it. So I love every time he's on my roster. I think he's just scratching the surface, man. I think he has a, I think he's legit talented. And it, I think if T-Law can be healthy, man, I think he could really, I think he explodes. So I like him because of his fireworks. I think we saw what he could do last year. And I think he was exciting last year, but I think he's still just scratching the surface. So my fireworks player is Brian Thomas Jr. I absolutely love him. My sneaky small firework that didn't show up last year,
your sparkler,
I think it's still going to blow up, is my sparkler right now is Marvin Harrison Jr. He was on the same thing. Decent numbers, but because everyone had expectations through the freaking roof on him, he's kind of fallen. Why everyone loves BTJ, because everyone's like, oh, he's going to be okay, and then he blew up. So I like Marvin Harrison Jr. because people are like, they're kind of like out on him after what he was going for last year. I like him still. I think he's going to be really, really good. I just think it was a combination. Expectations were just so freaking high. Anything that he did that wasn't 100 catches and 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns, everybody was going to be mad. And I was like, that's not super realistic for a rookie. So he's my sparkler. Because anytime I look at a team and I have either or both of those guys on my roster, I immediately start feeling better about my roster, about like this one could compete because we could blow up anytime.
I think T. Higgins was like the perfect answer. And I can't, I'm trying to find a T. Higgins.
That's what Eric said. He said it's the correct answer. He said we're doing perfectly thus far.
And so I'm taking a similar but slightly different direction where maybe it's someone who is a little underrated but is going to score you a lot of points. And I'm going to go back to somebody you said earlier in the show, which is A.J. Brown. Not that he's like off the map at this point, but his ADP's wide receiver 12. And I think his trade value might even be a little less than that. So I think he's somebody you can get for less than a lot of these young guys that he's going to produce similarly to or even outproduce. So that's going to be my answer. He could put you over the top, especially if they pass more like we think, like you and I both think this year.
Yes. And another name, I was just staring at ADP. I'm the first to say when I'm wrong about something, but I'm also the first to say when I was right about something. And that answer is Jameson Williams. And he can absolutely win you weeks out of a wide receiver 3 spot. And I still think he's probably not a guy you have to trade a 26 first to get. So that would be someone I would throw in there. And then his last one is the fantasy piss beer, which always disappoints and leads you to a dark place, but you keep going back for another. And I think just before everyone answers, I think the industry wide one is Kyle Pitts. So now that's taken out.
Damn it.
Okay. All right, Rocky, go ahead. You can.
That was my answer. I don't have one now.
Well, speak on Kyle Pitts and why.
I think it's obvious why. Yeah. I mean, he just, especially with that first year, it was so tantalizing. All the hype coming in, then he's not like, you know, Brock Bowers good year one, but he has a 1,000-yard season and has a crazy low touchdown total. And we're all just like, you know, regression. He's going to be, you know, positive regression. He's going to be great. And then it just progressively seems to get worse and worse every year. But we know the talent is there. And he's still only like 6 years old. So, so I think like, I'm still not completely out. Like I don't want to go back, but I mean, at how cheap he is now too, like, it's hard not to.
That's why the piss beer tastes good, because it's cheap. So it's,
yeah, it's exactly. Weird. Perfect analogy.
Justin, you got one?
So this one's going to be a little bit of a throwback. This is my favorite guy forever, and now I just can't quit him, even though everything tells you just get out now. It's Juju Smith-Schuster. I love Juju. He was my guy on the Steelers. Absolutely love Juju. He's sitting on about 40 of my rosters right now, and I just can't pull the trigger and cut him. And I'm just like, no, he's going to have a good game. No, I can play him this week. I play him in the bye. Somebody gets hurt, he'll do okay. I just can't talk myself out of Juju. Still one of my favorite players. The hopium, I probably put more random ass bets on him to get like 35 yards receiving, like three catches in the last 2 years where everybody's like way down on him. And I'm like, oh, he could get that. It's not that hard. I just love Juju. Still on him. I think he's a great kid. The injuries, obviously that knee is a problem. I just can't quit him though. It's just like, you're like, I still like it, Juju. Just like a little sip, a little more sip of Juju. And you're like, ooh, it's not the greatest, but you're like, I still like it, Juju. So that's my guy. I love Juju, man. I just can't get off him. No matter how many times I stare at the screen and go, Justin, just make the cut. I can't physically hit the trigger and do it.
I do have one more that's not just the standard Kyle Pitts answer that I thought of. And it's part of the problem is, too, is that the guy, he performs when he's on the field. He's just, it's injury after injury. It's a guy I've loved since he came into the league. And I'm still optimistic now again this year on a new team. J.K. Dobbins is, yeah. I've been the biggest J.K. Dobbins guy forever. And I hate to call any. I've always been you're injury prone till you're not, but he's never not been. So, it's been rough. But yeah, and I always keep one. I keep going back. I have so many J.K. Dobbins shares because when he's out there, I mean, he had a good year last year when he was out there. It's just he gets hurt over and over again. It's ridiculous.
That is actually not who I thought you were going to say because my answer is Jalen Waddle, who we keep doing this run around with, and he's questionable for 3 days and then he's playing and then he's out in the first 2 minutes of the game and you're screaming at the zero on your screen. So that is definitely one. But like Rocky said, he's great when he's healthy. So I had a couple more. I just wanted to burn through. Dalton Kincaid is Kyle Pitts light without any of the rookie success. But we keep falling for it because he's the tight end for the Bills. Debo Samuel, everyone loves the fact that he can do like 17 things, but he can't do any of them well. So he doesn't like really perform that well. I said Waddle, and then Chris Olave is the guy who we're just hoping and willing into being good on the Saints, but he just hasn't been. And then the last one I had was, I forgot, so it doesn't matter. So, the last one was Lawrence, who we've buried once already on this show, but we're gonna buy him one more time, and we're gonna buy that crappy Bush Light one more time. So I'm sorry
you
if there's
are.
A- hey, if you're in a league with me, you can sell me Trevor Lawrence. I'll buy him. I'll buy him from you.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to any potential future Bush Light sponsor scripts that this show will get. I like Bush Light. But anyways, that will be the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Justin, for coming on. This has been fun. Before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, I'm JT. You can find me at JT Orange on Twitter, on the X. I do a little bit of everything fantasy football-wise. So Dynasty, Redraft, C2C, CFF, IDP, Devi, I do it all. So feel free to hit me up with any questions. You can find me usually every Wednesday night on Fantasy and Frames doing the Dynasty 365 show and the Shoe the Gap IDP show. I co-host my buddy John McGlynn on the Dynasty Evaluation show where we kind of break down everything Dynasty-wise. That one is a little more crazy. It's during the day a lot of the times, but we don't always know when, as both of us have crazy schedules. So look for that one. Like and subscribe there, and then you know when we're going to come on in the middle of the day randomly at 11 a.m. one time. So that happens there. DLF, you can find me all my rankings, IDP, Debbie rankings over there, and that's where I write a majority of my articles. I forgot earlier, Fantrax. I don't do a lot of off-season stuff for Fantrax, but during the year, I do do writing for Fantrax and also have my hockey podcast. If you're into hockey, Around the Ice is our Fantrax and Fantasy and Frames hockey podcast, usually on Tuesday nights during the season. So just had the NHL draft. Not as exciting as the NFL draft, I'll have to tell you that. Not even close. But in some hockey rookie drafts right now. So doubling up with the hockey and the football right now.
Busy man in show business, folks. Our stuff, patreon.com/TradeXPod. You can watch us while we record. You can see Justin's amazing hat that I will be trying to copy imminently. You can also join our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, as Rocky was saying. There was a lot of talk on the Janu stuff in there today. And then the, I guess, I'm Frank in the chat, Twitter and Blue Sky. Rocky's at Dynasty FF, Twitter and Blue Sky. And obviously, we're in the middle of Scott Fishbowl season. Slow drafts start on Monday. The Podathon, everybody, the Podathon is on Sunday. Sal Lido's going for 24 hours. I saw him on Sunday in Chicago. He's ready to roll. So the Podathon starts, I think, Sunday afternoon and rolls through Monday, kind of right into the live drafts on Monday. So everyone, please check out the Podathon. It will be on the Fantasy Cures YouTube channel. I'll be tweeting it. I don't know if I'm going to be on it. I've submitted and everything, but I don't know if I'm going to be on it. Obviously merch, there's race days on Friday. I don't know if they're doing it because of the Podathon, and then the end of summer giveaway is coming up. There's going to be like 1.6 million things given away. So, everyone check out that. And, I hope everyone has a safe and happy fourth. And as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fan. Daddy's the best. See ya.